Please note, we are unable to play the songs referenced in this episode due to the legal stuff on this platform. For the full immersive experience, listen to DYUHWW on Mixcloud.com or play the songs on your favorite music streaming platform.
Do you understand how words work?
Do you understand how words work?
Do you understand how words work? Do you understand how words work?
Do you understand how words work?
Do you understand how words work?
Do you understand how words work? Do you understand how words work? Please visit our website at www.dyuhww.org.
For God so loved the world that he gave them
Ms. Nina Davis so she could ask,
do you understand how words work?
Greetings and welcome back to Do You Understand How Words Work? Where we explore and expound on words and phrases, infusing musical and spiritual context for the enhancement of the collective. That's all of us. Because if we don't know what we're saying, we should probably stop talking, pick up a book, and listen more. I'm your host, Ms. Nina Davis, keeping it real and holy. As we journey together and ask the question, do you understand how words work? Because there's a lot of misuse and misunderstanding out there on how words actually work. Some humans never think about how words work. They just use them, casually tossing them here and there, without ever wondering about the impact of their choice and delivery of words. Well, we are going to think about, discuss, and apply context to some words and phrases often abused and misused in our society. So, get your stylus and touchscreen device of choice, or pen and paper if you're old school, because life-changing information is imminent. In this episode of DYUHWW, we are asking, do you understand how freedom works? We have been diving into the plethora of meanings for the word freedom. We are looking at the spiritual aspects and finding out if we can make it ring. This episode is packed with informative, engaging, and enlightening content. All right, in today's segment, or part three of Freedom, we are chopping up the survey data, debuting a new segment called That's Not in the Bible, and we are diving into what society has to say about freedom of speech, sometimes called free speech. And of course, the music is banging. We will reveal how you all can access and download the playlist for yourselves. So, without further ado, let's jump right into Society Says. Society Says is a segment where we look at society's views and intent on certain topics and compare all of that to scripture. We do this to get a better understanding of how society works because they plot day and night, scurrying the city walls like rats, trouble and evil lurking everywhere. Psalm 55:10. What does society say about current events? Or how does society want us to react to events that impact the social fabric in America? Y'all know Ms. Nina is always saying how messy society is. Well, she has really gone off the deep end in recent months. Society has had a lot to say about freedom since part two of the freedom episode. In fact, there's been an assassination of a political figure, multiple church shootings, church burnings, and a host of other violent attacks and killings in the U.S., all in the name of freedom of speech. Society wants us to believe whatever it tells us, no questions asked. This includes telling us words mean something that they do not. We know and can research these words if we choose to do so. Rewatch or re-listen to the DE&I episode for context. Society always has a way of encouraging us to believe that human beings who do not 100% agree with everything we believe are our enemies. They are not. And even if someone doesn't like or agree with us on every single topic or any topic at all, that human is still a human being. If we have nothing else in common, we have that. So let's build on that commonality and not let society dictate how we feel, act, or interact with other human beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience, which brings to mind another commonality. The actual enemy is an enemy to all of us spiritual/human beings. So we share that too. We all have a soul, and the real conflict is for eternal ownership of it. Satan is trying to destroy all of us for eternity. Some of us are fighting back, some are not. Some think they took the red pill, but it was a blue pill dipped in hot sauce. I digress. Society tells Americans that individually we have free speech and or freedom of speech. These two phrases are used interchangeably, but there are nuanced differences in the details. Research it for yourselves, please. And so long as our free speech does not cause imminent harm to others, we are free to practice and express freedom of speech in America. Most believe or think freedom of speech means we have the freedom to say or do whatever we want whenever we want. It does not. Free speech and freedom of speech allow us to express our opinions and ideas without fear of censorship or retaliation from our government. This right is legally protected in the U.S. Constitution, even though it is not always enforced or upheld equally across societal groups. Recently, a late-night TV comedian lost his job and then regained it, all in the name of freedom of speech and free speech. That's because non-U.S. government entities, like corporations and companies, do not have to allow free speech to their employees, especially if it impacts in any way the ability for that company to capitalize on the consumerism of the masses. Which brings us to, how does freedom of speech work then? Regardless of what society says or wants us to believe, it's important to note that this freedom or right is not afforded to all humans. It's also not intended to be used to restrict another person's freedom of speech. In America, where things are becoming less and less free every day, we cannot incite a riot or cause direct harm to others with our words or expressions. But we are free to use words that others find offensive and are prohibited in other countries. Americans can express dissenting views from our government without fear of punishment or retaliation. Well, we could previously. The current federal administration does not fully embrace the spirit of free speech. In 2005, Frederick Schuer, a professor at the John F. Kennedy School of Government at Harvard, wrote in an essay called The Exceptional First Amendment that in much of the developed world, one uses racial epithets at one's legal peril. One displays Nazi regalia and the other trappings of ethnic hatred at significant legal risk. And one urges discrimination against religious minorities under threat of fine or imprisonment. But in the United States, all such speech remains constitutionally protected. Currently, society is trying to convince us that hate speech is not hate speech. Make that make sense. While hate speech is not illegal in the United States of America, it is still hateful words used to hurt, degrade, and destroy. Hate speech includes verbal or written expressions of prejudices based on ethnicity, religion, sexual orientation, age, mental health issues, etc. Saying mean words in a nice way does not change their meanings, and it's still hate speech. As per usual, society is at odds with what Jesus teaches. And maybe at odds is not the best way to frame it, but instead of focusing on what we are free to say, Jesus tells us in Matthew 12:36 that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. So be responsible with your words, because this means we will all be held accountable for empty words, useless, unkind, thoughtless, hurtful, and hateful words that we speak to others or ourselves. All of us, not just followers of Christ. The scripture says everyone, every soul. For example, calling yourself stupid or dumb, that counts as empty words. Calling someone else stupid or dumb also counts as empty words. So when Ms. Nina says, mind your words, it's because of the eternal implications, not because I am personally offended. You can say whatever you like. I said you can go wherever you like. Minding our words or paying attention to how we use them is more for our benefit than protecting others from our hateful speech. Although Ms. Nina cannot overstate the significance and impact of hurtful and hateful words on our fellow human beings. Proverbs 18:21 teaches us that words have the power of life and death, and we will have to deal with the consequences of our words, sometimes immediately after speaking them, depending on the situation. The Voice translation reads, "Words have power in matters of life and death, and those who love them will savor their fruits." Even if we ourselves don't take offense to the words we or others use, we cannot control how people perceive or interpret them. We can develop the discipline to consider what other human beings may be dealing with or going through before we unleash a bunch of empty words on them. This is unless you are prepared to justify your words to our Creator. Saying, because everyone else was doing it, will not work with him. In the end, everyone will receive what his or her actions in life have cultivated. Romans 2:6. Two quick points before we wrap up Society Says. Point one is our words will bear fruit. It may be bitter, rotten, and diseased fruit, or it may be juicy, ripe, delicious fruit. Either way, we as individuals are responsible for our own fruit. four words. We can't blame our fruit on others. It's no one's fault that we use the words we choose. Yes, our flesh can be tested beyond what we think we can handle. But God actually knows how much we can handle. So when folks are working our nerves, remember it's a test. And God knows we can survive it or pass it. That's why we are experiencing it. Spiritual growth will not be an easy, breezy walk in the park kind of situation.
Take a long walk. Maybe we can talk about Revelation 3:17.
By the way, Revelation 3:17 says, "You claim I am rich. I have accumulated riches and I need nothing. But you don't realize that you are miserable, pathetic, poor, blind, and naked." Anybody want to talk about that? The second point is, as Christ followers, we won't be judged, meaning we won't receive punishment for our words or lack of works because all of our sins are forgiven, and we'll be rewarded for whatever obedience we do manage to complete. But it will be a sad day for those that simply got saved and did nothing else for God's kingdom. Honestly, none of us actually knows if that even works. No one has come back from eternity to say, "Oh yeah, you can just coast and keep doing what you want to do once you get saved. It's all good." No one has come back from eternity and said, "God accepted me even though I denied him my whole life." I'm saying, why take the risk with eternity? It will be too late once we are in eternity to change our minds or tell God how much we really love him, even though there's no evidence of that love as he replays and examines our lives. Here's the kicker. If there is no evidence in this life to others that we are followers of Christ, what evidence do we have that we are guaranteed eternal life with the Creator? Following Christ will naturally produce good works and words out of gratitude and thanksgiving for God's amazing grace, mercy, and love. But if we are just saying the words, if we are just going to church every Sunday, if we are not reading, studying, and meditating on God's word, if we go to Bible study just to check the box and post a check-in on the socials, if we are so self-centered and self-absorbed that we can't see others in need, or if we are not using our gifts, talents, and skills to serve the one who gave them, have we really accepted and believed Christ as our Lord and Savior? Only you and God know the answer. But Ms. Nina is here to help y'all figure these things out and help y'all grow spiritually if you so desire. It's what God wants for all of us. So again, let's not let society, social media, old school media, political figures, or anyone or anything tell us how to treat other human beings. We don't have to ask AI how to have good relationships. God has already provided the best blueprint for successful and healthy relationships that last for eternity. Listen carefully to the lyrics of Civil Disobedience by Dayton as we take a quick shake your legs and dance break.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today
with Ms. Nina Davis.
Do you understand how words work?
Civil disobedience is under persecution in America for sure. Society will not like that song, which is one of the reasons for our next new favorite mini segment called That's Not in the Bible.
That's not in the Bible. That's not in the Bible.
right about now.
Right now.
People are saying all kinds of things related to Christianity, but not found in the Christian Bible. That's because we are in a time where false prophets are running rampant around here. Matthew 7 verses 15 and 16 warns us to look for the fruit of their words. One way to test that fruit is to see if what they are saying or doing lines up with the Word of God. We're calling this new mini segment, That's Not in the Bible. And we are prepared to have some fun with this. Hope y'all are too. There are three things very closely related that we're going to check against the Bible today. We're grouping them all together under end times events. If anyone tells you they know when the rapture of Christ's church will happen, or that they know when the end of the world or Armageddon will happen, or that they know when Christ himself will return, they are lying to you. They do not know any of these dates. None of us will know any of these dates before they happen, because that's not in the Bible. But I will tell y'all what the Bible does say about these things. First, on the rapture, in 1 Thessalonians 4, please read the whole thing for context. Paul teaches that Christ's followers who die before Christ returns will merely be in a sleep-like state until Christ returns. At that time, those who have passed will rise and ascend. Any followers still alive will also ascend after them, and all will go to the heavens. This is what most people call the rapture of the church. The Bible gives no date for these events because we don't know any dates for these events. Verses 16 and 17 in the Voice translation read, "On that day, with a command that thunders into the world, with a voice of a chief heavenly messenger, and with a blast of God's trumpet, the Lord himself will descend from heaven. And all those who died in the Anointed One, or our liberating King, will rise from the dead first. Then we who are alive and left behind will be snatched up together with them into the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. This is how we, the resurrected and the living, will be with him forever." As far as when Jesus will return, listen, not even Jesus knows that date. Nobody does. The Bible does not tell us. That's not in the Bible. However, what is in the Bible is Jesus telling us that even he himself does not know, but that when he does return, we won't need anyone to tell us he is here. We will all see him at the same time, all at once. Let that sink into your brain as we read Matthew 24 verses 23 through 28. If anyone tries to flag you down calling out, "Here's the Messiah," or points, "There he is," don't fall for it. Fake messiahs and lying preachers are going to pop up everywhere. Their impressive credentials and bewitching performances will pull the wool over the eyes of even those who ought to know better. But I've given you fair warning. So if they say, "Run to the country and see him arrive," or "Quick, get downtown, see him come," don't give them the time of day. The arrival of the Son of Man isn't something you go to see. It comes like swift lightning to you. Whenever you see crowds gathering, think of carrion vultures circling, moving in, hovering over a rotting carcass. You can be quite sure that it's not the living Son of Man pulling in those crowds. Then there's Armageddon. If someone tells you they know when it's going to start or happen, they do not.
I hit my line and said,
"It's a scam, likely."
That's not in the Bible. Also in Matthew 24, verses 4 through 14, Jesus himself tells the disciples to stay calm and carry on. Verse 4, Jesus said, Watch out for doomsday deceivers. Many leaders are going to show up with forged identities claiming, I am the Christ, the Messiah. They will deceive a lot of people. When reports come in of wars and rumored wars, keep your head and don't panic. This is routine history. This is no sign of the end. Let me go back and say that again. When reports come in of wars and rumored wars, keep your head and don't panic. All right, stay calm. This is routine history. This is no sign of the end. He continues, nation will fight nation and ruler fight ruler over and over. Famines and earthquakes will occur in various places. This is nothing compared to what is coming. They are going to throw you to the wolves and kill you. Everyone hating you because you carry my name. And then, going from bad to worse, it will be dog eat dog. Everyone at each other's throat. Everyone hating each other. Verse 11. In the confusion, lying preachers will come forward and deceive a lot of people. For many others, the overwhelming spread of evil will do them in. Nothing left of their love but a mound of ashes. 13. Staying with it. That's what God requires. Stay with it to the end. You won't be sorry and you'll be saved. All during this time, the good news, the message of the kingdom, will be preached all over the world. A witness staked out in every country. And then the end will come. So collective, we need not panic at what seems like enough chaos in the world to literally end the world. Don't take my word for it. Jesus said it's going to get much, much, much worse before he returns. Pray for the strength to endure. All of these fakers and false prophets about to mess around and find out. Here's Miles Minnick and friends with Find Out.
You know, God made me funky.
Do you understand how words work?
And we're back. Now it's time for my personal favorite mini segment, Survey Data Chop. Most of y'all are aware by now that we publish a survey at the beginning of each episode to collect y'all's feedback on the topic at hand. Well, this is episode 3, so we are on Survey 3, the Freedom Survey. And I'm happy to share that the street team and Ms. Nina went out to Olympic Park here in Atlanta, Georgia.
Welcome to Atlanta where the players play.
To ask our neighbors some questions about freedom. And I know people either love or hate the ATL. We love it. Of course, our final responses that we're going to cover today include our online participants as well. So let's chop up this data. Question number one is always spiritual / religious identity. For this survey, when we ask, do you identify as one of the following, 67% of the participants identified as Christians. 33% say other, including Christ follower and practicing multiple philosophical belief systems. Question number two jumps into it with, do you consider yourself free? Ms. Nina must admit, that's a loaded question, but not a trick question. There are many freedoms to consider when thinking about one's feeling or actualization of freedom. For instance, we may have physical freedom, meaning we can move about as we please, but we may not have mental freedom, and therefore we move about in circles, unable to actually move forward. We can also lose freedom due to substance abuse. We may be free to drink as much alcohol as we want, but are we free to stop when we want to, or are we a slave to it? Are we a slave to nicotine or THC? So when we ask, do you consider yourself free? We are thinking about all of these factors and more. Here are the results. 16% of all participants say, no, I do not consider myself free. 33% say, yes, I am free. But the largest group, 50%, say they consider themselves mostly free. And I can dig it. Ms. Nina also considers herself mostly free. Question number 3 goes a little deeper, asking if you've ever voluntarily traded your freedom for something else. Maybe not all of your freedom, but some of it. Here, most folks may not consider that criming, committing crimes, breaking the law, is voluntarily trading your freedom for something else. Crime. Also, staying at the same church for years while not growing spiritually is trading your spiritual freedom for comfort. So, as we see, we can make small trades here and there that end up taking a significant amount of our freedom. 17% answered yes. More than once, I have traded my freedom for something else. They understood the assignment. While 83% say nope, they have never even considered it. This is one of the reasons the church is in the state that it is in. We are not being honest with ourselves or anyone else. So of course, we're not being honest with God. If we think about this question honestly, most of us have voluntarily traded at least some of our freedom for something else. Question number 4 dives slightly into the psyche, asking, have you considered the differences between mental and physical freedom? 100% of participants say yes, they have considered the differences. Mental freedom is just as important as physical freedom. Some would argue it's more important. Mental freedom allows us to think the way we want to think. Being healthy mentally is another form of mental freedom. With mental freedom, you can create and imagine things beyond our physical perceptions. Physical freedom includes being able to move about without restrictions. Physical freedom allows us to travel, visit friends, and worship. It may allow us to touch things and explore all of creation around us. And it's important to note, as with most types of freedom, there are various levels of mental and physical freedom. An incarcerated person can still have physical freedom in some respects, but it will be limited. However, the mental freedom of an incarcerated human may be limitless. Up next is question number 5, which asks us to complete the following sentence. Complete and total freedom for all humans would be ... The options are A, it would be the best thing ever. No one selected this option. Thank you. Option B is, it would totally rock if I don't have to be impacted by others' freedom. 33% of participants selected this option. Option C for complete and total freedom for all humans would be not a great idea for a stable society. 67% agree with this option. The final option was other, but no one selected that. So let's get into this question. While we all want our freedoms, all of our freedoms, we have to consider what's best for society overall. Also, and maybe more importantly, what aligns with God's will when it comes to our freedoms? There would be total chaos and calamity if every single human being on this planet had the freedom to do anything they wanted to do without fear of retaliation or incarceration. it would be impossible for others to escape the consequences of others' freedom. From the small stuff like that neighbor that likes to bang them 808s at 2 a.m. on most nights, to the neighbor that thinks he is judge and jury and openly executes those that disagree with the HOA bylaws. It would be pandemonium. Complete and total freedom for all human beings would not be a great idea for a stable society. As flawed, sinful human beings, we need some laws, rules, restrictions, and instructions on how to conduct ourselves in a neighborly way. And finally, we've reached my favorite part of the survey. Rate the freedom vibe of the following songs. These results were surprising, and we had a lot of fun at Olympic Park playing these songs to refresh folks' memories. There are a total of 10 songs, and each song can receive a rating of 1 to 10 stars. We are going to reveal the top 5 rankings by highest average number of stars received, which is really going to be top 7 because we had a 3-way tie for the number 5 spot. The survey is still open if any of you want to add your ratings to this data. Up first, our 5th place 3-way tie is with Fly Away by Lenny Kravitz.
I want to get away.
Rise Up by Andra Day.
And I rise up, I rise like the day. I rise unafraid, I rise up. And I do it 1,008 times again.
And Shackles by Mary Mary. The results give these 3 songs an average of 8.2 stars each. 4th place goes to Bob Marley with Redemption Song.
How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book.
Receiving an average of 8.4 stars. 3rd place is Locked Down by Pharrell Williams and his song titled Freedom.
Your first name is Free, last name is Dumb, but you still believe in where we're from.
He received 8.7 stars. 2nd place, and a Ms. Nina favorite, is Shout by Tears for Fears.
Shout, shout, let it all out. These are the things I can do without. Come on, I'm talking to you. Come on.
Which received an average of 9.2 stars out of 10 stars. That leaves our number 1 Freedom Vibe song. The remaining songs are The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill, Freedom by Beyoncé, Free Your Mind by En Vogue, and another song titled Freedom by Jesus Culture. Spoiler alert, it's not Beyoncé. Sorry, not sorry, Hive. Let me stop. The number 1 song for Freedom Vibe received 9.6 stars out of 10. That means no songs received all 10s. Anyway, the song is, drumroll please, Free Your Mind by En Vogue. And even though we played this song in part 1 of the Freedom episode because we had no idea it would get the most stars, let's rock out once more with the Funky Divas.
Spread love. It's eternal. And so are you.
Do you understand how words work?
To listen to the songs in this episode and all of the songs on our Freedom playlist, scan the QR code in the YouTube video or visit our website at www.dyuhww.org and click on the Freedom Playlist button. You can also search the playlist by name on Amazon Music. Now that all minds are free, when considering freedom, God offers the only eternal freedom available. Society and Satan can only offer us a perverted form of freedom that is fickle and fleeting. God offers freedom through the Holy Spirit in 2 Corinthians 3:15 through 17. Paul explains that when the Holy Spirit dwells inside of us, we have freedom, a spiritual freedom that can never be taken away from us. The Voice translation reads, "Even today, a veil covers the hearts when the words of Moses are read. But in the moment when one turns toward the Lord, the veil is removed." By the Lord, what I mean is the Spirit. And in any heart where the Spirit of the Lord is present, there is liberty or freedom. And God offers freedom from sin and guilt. Paul again in Romans 8 verses 1 through 12 explains that because our flesh cannot keep God's laws, Jesus paid the ultimate price for all of us. There's no condemnation because the sin has been dealt with. Consequences paid. Verses 1 and 2 clarifies, "Therefore, now no condemnation awaits those who are living in Jesus the Anointed, the liberating King. Because when you live in the Anointed One, Jesus, a new law takes effect. The law of the Spirit of life breathes into you and liberates you from the law of sin and death." That is also the Voice translation. But most importantly, God offers us freedom to approach Him as our loving Father. Ephesians 3 verses 10 through 12 state, "Here's His objective, God's. Through the church, He intends now to make known His infinite and boundless wisdom to all rulers and authorities in heavenly realms. This has been His plan from the beginning, one that He has now accomplished through the Anointed One, Jesus, our Lord. His faithfulness to God has made it possible for us to have the courage we need and the ability to approach the Father confidently. We don't need a pastor or a priest or an intercessor to engage our Father. We are free to have a conversation, a good laugh or a cry directly with Him, Abba, which is Hebrew for Father. We are finally free."
Life is an eternal journey. Earth is just one destination.
All right, y'all. That was Finally Free by Crew Alexander and Brino. We can all experience spiritual freedom through Christ. Live free in Christ, y'all. This concludes our Do You Understand How Freedom Works episode? Let's do a brief recap. In part one of Do You Understand How Freedom Works, we discussed the various meanings, definitions, and types of freedom. We also discussed the fact that there are several levels of freedom. We also took a look at what freedom looks like around the world with our 2025 World Freedom Stats. In part two, we reviewed what God says about freedom in our Spiritually Speaking segment. We went in detail with Word Up on how to develop our discipline in order to experience more freedom. And we determined that the hook of some songs impart more information than the actual verses of the song. Who knew we find freedom in music? Well, God knew. And Lucifer, who was once the minister of music in heaven. Pay close attention to what you are listening to. The enemy often uses music to trick, trap, and destroy. In today's part three of Freedom, we took a look at what society has been saying and trying to get us to believe about freedom. Plus, we set the record straight on what's in the Bible about end time events, and we chopped up the survey data to share y'all's opinions and experiences with freedom. Shout out to the street team working hard to get this word out to the people. Thank you. Thank you all for your undivided attention and engagement as we explore the deeper context around the word freedom. You all are the best, and may God's word keep you curious. Ms. Nina has had so much fun with this, and hope y'all did too. Stay tuned for our next episode, because if it's God's will, Ms. Nina Davis will be back with more Do You Understand How Words Work? Soon and very soon. Until next time, practice love, give grace, and stay funky. Shalom.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 1:7.
Please visit our website at www.dyuhww.org.